At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Welcome to the Boneyard with Steve Robertson. As always, I am your good friend and host, Steve Robertson. Here on the rare Saturday edition of Yard. I had talked about the recording last night when I got home, but wanted to watch the rest of the men's game, and then I got caught up in Georgia Tech, and it was time to go to bed. A lot to talk about. We'll break down the game. We'll talk about what's going to happen next. We'll talk about official visitors this weekend, some portal traffic, talk some basketball, a lot of good stuff. Good top 10 list for you today, too. Hope you guys are well. I was in Oxford yesterday, much to the chagrin of some and the surprise of others. My friend Brian Haydad walked in and he said, "Hey, do my eyes deceive me?" No. I applied for a credential and Ole Miss was professional and had a chance to visit with some former compatriots, I guess you could say, people in the Ole Miss media. Everybody was great. You know, it was. Spent a lot of time visiting with Chuck Rounsville. And Chuck seems to be doing good. And Chuck had some health problems here in the last few years, but seems to be doing great. And it was good to see Chuck. You know, I like Chuck Rounsville. I know people don't like certain guys on the other side of the aisle because they're Ole Miss people, right? It's the same thing for us, you know. And had a chance to visit with Neil McCready for a little while. We talked a little bit about our kids and, a lot going on. Talked about Northwest Arkansas, and we both got kids up there. And so, you know, it's life and life abundantly, right? But, it was good. No problems. Nothing like that. You know, everybody was nice. Even had a couple of Ole Miss fans ask to take a picture with me, you know. So, you never know. But, we decided to go up there and because that's the job. And, it's been some years in the past that I was advised not to go. But, everything went fine. And everybody at Ole Miss handled things professionally. I was row one, seat one. Right there on the front row. And Dave Murray and Jacob Bang went with us. Of course, we had coverage of the ball game. And it proved to be a better ball game than most people anticipated, including myself. I thought State would cover, and we did. But here's the thing. I'm tired of just covering. You know, and I asked Jeff Levy last night, you know, what do you got to do, you know, to get to the point where we start winning these ball games? You know, but, the bottom line is it's over now. Year one is now in the books. It was not the year we had hoped. We thought maybe this team could win 5, maybe 6 games. We thought 6 was probably the ceiling. And then when Blake Chapin goes down against Florida and is out for the year, it pretty much removed all hope of that. And once we lost to Toledo, some people were like, "Steve, outside of winning that UMass game, what game do you expect us to win?" Well, I thought there were a couple toss-ups out there we might be able to. But let's be honest about it. It has not been a good year. And I guess it was Noah Mashburn that tweeted yesterday, maybe, said, "Hey, this is the worst football team that Jeff Lubby's going to put on the field." And I agree with that. But, it's been a year that we've endured rather than enjoyed. And, you're like me, right? You put so much emotional energy into this, and you look so forward to football the entire year. Because, we got to take care of football because football takes care of everything else, right? And we have made some upgrades and spent a lot of money to improve our facilities and player amenities and things like that. And you hope to get the reward on your investment. And we didn't this year. And there's no other way to describe that. It was a terrible year. You know, I will say one of the things that's maybe different compared to some of the teams we've had in years past that have struggled is I never thought the kids quit on their coach. I never thought they quit on each other. You know, we've had some guys in the portal today, and there'll be others. We'll talk about that a little later in the show. But the reality of it is I thought the staff, in that respect, the kind of holding the locker room together, did a good job. And you got to keep these guys here, and you got to prepare for the future. I mean, you got to go out there and find players, and you don't want to have to just find players and also replace players that you're counting on. But your Bulldogs went out there and played well at times, but we had opportunities to win this football game, and we did not. I'll tell you, interesting enough, too, you never know where life's going to take you. And so after post game, you know, we're walking across the field. I told Sam, I said, it's better. Let's just walk across the field. It's a little bit shorter. Walk out there, and there's Jackson Dart smoking a cigar at our expense. And I'm walking along there just minding my own business, and all of a sudden Jackson Dart says, hey, that's a cool hat. So I walked up, extended my hand, shook his hand, and said, hey, Jackson, congratulations on a great career. Best luck in the future. And he goes, hey, man, thanks very much. I appreciate that. Now, some people would be disappointed that I did that, but I'm a human being. And I've told you guys from the beginning, when Jackson Dart got there, watching that kid play, he's really good. And I thought we caused him some trouble yesterday. But I don't have the acrimony for those players that I do perhaps the institution and certainly the fan base, right? Those young men that choose to go to Ole Miss have the same dreams and aspirations that the ones that choose to go to Mississippi State do. You know, and we weren't in the game to recruit Jackson Dart. I mean, the reality of it is he went up there. He did what he was asked to do. He has them still in playoff contention. Of course, some things have to go their way, but Jackson Dart is a man just like I am, and he makes a compliment to me. I offered one back to him. I'm not going to go up there and be a jackwagon to anybody. And again, I appreciate the fine folks at Ole Miss that were involved in the credentialing process and saying, hey, you know what? Hey, let's just kind of move forward. And that's what I plan to do. And so, yeah, front row at Vaught Hemingway Stadium to cover your Bulldogs. I had a lot of people texting me when I sent out the tweet, the obligatory press box photo. I can't believe you're in Oxford. Well, I was, and I will be again. And, you know, I've got a job to do. And I take that very, very seriously. And even though that, you know, David and Jacob would have done a great job without me, I attended every Mississippi State football game this year. I've only missed two in 3 years. Missed South Carolina last year because we had to, Dan and I had to go to San Diego. And then I missed the Egg Bowl in 2022. But, didn't miss this one. And so perfect attendance for your good friend and host this year at the Mississippi State Games. You know, really all I have to show for it are some cool memories and my credential. I collect all my credentials and I keep them. And one day my grandchildren will see all that and they'll say, hey, your grandpa lived a pretty cool life. That's true. And speaking of grandkids, if you didn't pick up on it on Wednesday's show, we did a top 10 list of Warrens in music. I found out Wednesday evening, I have a grandson on the way. I do, and I get emotional thinking about it. I really, really do. I got two grand girls, and I love them. I got a chance to kiss them goodbye this morning. Got a chance to spend a couple days with them. And that's the thing I've learned about grandchildren, folks, is they don't stay long enough, right? It's just how life is. They don't stay long enough. And it's so wonderful to see your own children become parents and have children of their own because you know what a joy it is to be a parent. It is the greatest thing I've experienced, absolutely, without any question. And so Warren Logan Robertson is due June the 13th. He is scheduled to be my first grandson, and that's pretty special to me. And as I told Betsy, Ani's wife, I guess it's Ani's third child, and I said, you know, I don't think you guys maybe fully understand the gravity of all this. It's not only have you made Ani a father and now we'll have a son, and that just absolutely excites me so much for him, but you've made Ani a coach. Yeah, Ani will get to coach Little League now. Yeah, Ani will get to be involved with that sort of stuff. And he's so incredibly involved with his girls. He's a great girl dad, and Betsy will be a great boy mom as well. And so we're super, super happy. My grandfather was Warren Jefferson Selman. He was a pastor. His son, my Uncle Booby, was Warren Selman Jr., and then my cousin is Warren Jefferson Selman III. We call him Jay. So Warren has been a very important name in our family, and Betsy's dad's middle name is also Warren. So everybody gets a little claim to this, but I've already called Chris Lamonis and shared the news with him, and we've offered Warren Logan Robertson's commitment to Mississippi State baseball for the 2043 class, and I'm happy to say it's been accepted. And hopefully he'll grow up to be a great young man. And it's one of those things, too, you think about. You think about all the things you want for yourself. You want it 10 times more for your children. And then when you get grandkids, you want it 100 times more for them, right? And I just hope that I have blazed a trail and set a good example as a father that my children will follow to be a great parent. And so that's the news. I had to sit on it Wednesday. I was so excited about having a grandson and about him being named Warren. And how they told us is we go to dinner at the Central Station Grill. Had the cheese sticks, too. It's always a great appetizer there. Had the cheese sticks. We got both varieties of cheese sticks. And so Vivi, our oldest granddaughter, Ani says, hey, Vivi's been dying to give you all this ornament for your tree. And so they go give it to Dana, who they call Dee Dee. And she opens up the bag, and there's an ornament, and it's got Vivi and Lily, and then there's Warren on the ornament. That was a great, 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 great way to do it. And so we're thrilled. And a lot of people say, you know, Steve, you're not so down in the mouth about this or about that or whatever. It's like, what do I have to be upset about in life? I mean, honest to goodness, right? I get to cover college athletics for a living, cover my favorite team. I married the prettiest girl I ever dated. I got four amazing children, and now my third grandkid is on the way. So, you know, what do I have to feel sorry about? Sometimes I got to remind myself of that, about how grateful and blessed I truly am. So that's our big news, and shared that with a few people before it was public. You know, we got, you know, my mom is one of these Facebook aficionados that anything that happens, she has to run Facebook. And I said, Mom, I haven't had a chance to tell the rest of the family yet, so please don't put it on Facebook until Friday afternoon or Thursday afternoon after we've had a chance to see. It's been so busy the last few days. Been all over the place, all over the great state of Mississippi. But yeah, that's our big news, and wanted to share that with so many of you. I put it on Facebook yesterday, and we had a lot of great, great response. But yeah, we're celebrating today. We're absolutely celebrating. All right, let's thank our folks at Bulldog Burger Company, you know, part of the Eat With Us group along with the Central Station Grill. I love going into Bulldog Burger Company because I know what to expect, right? That's the thing. The expectations are going to be met when I go to Bulldog Burger Company. I can just go put my feet under their table and let them take care of everything else. The drinks are always filled. The great appetizer. I traditionally get the spring rolls, part of my beauty care regimen. That's why I've stayed so youthful all these years. The spring rolls, I would recommend them highly to you. They'll make you and everybody around you better looking. And I've been on a smokehouse kick as of late. I may get something a little bit different. And always ask about the specials. There's always something that they're trying, you know, something new. To see how you guys like it. You know, that Mississippi barbecue burger was great. Wish that was back. But always something new at Bulldog Burger Company. Three great locations to serve you: University Drive in Stark Vegas, Gloucester Street there in Tupelo, Lake Harbor Drive in the Ridge and Flowood area. Whether it's a night out with friends or a lunch out with work colleagues or just a night out with the fam, Bulldog Burger Company is the place to go. Get that chocolate shake for the ride home. You can ride that ride home with a smile. Bulldog Burger Company, the place where people go to meet. M-E-A-T. Okay. All right, let's break down the game. And it's one of those things, too, like, you know, looking back at it, you know, there were so many of us that thought, you know, hey, we're going to get beat by 50. You know, Ole Miss will run it up. There were some people on our message board at jeanspage.com, and you can come join our merry band of Maroon Misfits for 75% off the annual subscription rate right now. That's super cool, right? A lot of our folks said, hey, Steve, if Lane Kiffin can get 100, he will. And some other people said, well, you know, Lane and Jeff are buddy-buddy. They're not buddy-buddy. They're not, you know, stop. They're not enemies, but they're not hanging out. Even, you know, Lane Kiffin said himself that they hadn't spoken at all this year. Maybe gotten a couple texts, but you know, the truth of the matter is, I don't know that I want my head coach to be buddy buddy with the coach at Ole Miss. I think you got to go out there and play to win. You got a game plan and look a scheme all year long. Nevertheless, Mississippi State had a chance in this ball game. It was a little bit nervous at times for those in attendance. So let's kind of break this thing down if we can. And for the 12th consecutive game, Mississippi State gets the ball first. We go on offense every single game this year. Wouldn't it have been interesting if we'd have just deferred, just to kind of shake it up, maybe break the mojo a little bit? But, hey, Mississippi State wins a toss. We go out on offense. And disaster kind of strikes early here, and you're kind of thinking, here we go. Here we go. All right, so we give it to Booth right up the middle, and I think that's kind of a statement play call. It's like, hey, I know you guys are salty against a run. We're going to come out and run the football. 5 yards at the middle for Booth, and then it's incomplete to Jordan Mosley. Mosley is open on the play. We just kind of threw it a little bit far out in front, and I thought our receivers were open the entire day against this Ole Miss secondary. And a lot of people talk about, you know, recruiting rankings and things like that. Mississippi State's wide receivers got separation from Ole Miss throughout the day, and at times we were able to complete those passes. This is one that we didn't, and this one that got us out to midfield, and already you're thinking, hey, we got a first down, we're already midfield, maybe you go score. Then we get a false start on Luke Work, played his first egg ball. Luke, a freshman, played really well for us this year, and that's a building block for the future. That's a guy that grew up a Mississippi State fan. His aunt Julie Bishop is Twitter famous within the Mississippi State community. Julie and Ken, just great people. David Work is the dad. Dave's been great. I remember I told the story last night on the way home with Dave and Jacob. I remember David Work asking for my phone number when Luke was just a young man, I think a sophomore there at Lausanne Collegiate School. Just want me to set up a profile picture. Now here he is starting at left tackle in his first Egg Bowl as a true freshman. It's incredible how life works. All right, so now we're in a situation here where, we're not behind the chains, but we're in a bad spot, and then we throw the pick. And some people say, well, the receiver threw down. We threw this ball in the traffic, and it wasn't a well-thrown ball. It's a pick, and Chris Ball returns it 10 yards to the State 34, and you start thinking, okay, Steve, here we go. You know, here we go. I felt the same way. Bulldog defense kind of stood up here. Micah Davis up the middle for two, and then they go back to him off the left side for nine. And I thought they found most of their success running left. They really struggled running right. Found a little bit of success up the middle. Of course, they had the big Bentley run there. But by and large, Ole Miss's success in the running game came off the left side of the line. All right, they go back to the left side here on first down for two, and up the middle for a one-yard loss. Tom Blant and DeMonte Russell, Mississippi guys, also two of the four captains on the day. All four of your captains were Mississippi natives. Jax Darton incomplete. They take a shot down the field, and Hunter Washington credited with the PBU there. And then they kick a field goal, 39 yards, and it's good. And it felt like a win. It really did. It felt like, you know what, we gave them the short side of the field. They made a couple plays. We were able to hold them off for a field goal. That was a win for your Bulldog defense. And give Mississippi State a lot of credit. We talked about this. Van Buren sometimes tends to play better from behind. You know, we need him to be a front runner. You know, we need to find a way to get ahead and put some distance between us and our opponents. But at least we didn't go down two scores before we kind of got going offensively. And again, I thought State had a good game plan here. So we come out here. And we take the shot here down to Seydou. And originally it's called complete. And I don't know how they had enough evidence to overturn this. And what I mean by that is he had the ball tucked. If the ball is tucked, it can still touch the ground. It didn't come loose then. But they reverse the call. And you start thinking it's just not our day. And guys, we have run that fade route to Seydou so many times. I would say we've run it maybe 8, 9, 10 times, and we've completed it once. You know, this is one of those where I thought we did. Nevertheless, they review it, comes back, and now it's 2nd and 10. We give it to Daniels up the middle for 3. And then, let's see here. Let me get backed up here. Let's check my notes here. Yeah, so we give it to Daniels, and then it's incomplete to Jordan Mosley. Well, we decided to go for it here, and we get it to Justin Ball on the fake punt. Nick Barmira, great job selling it. And I admired the courage of the call. And then the execution was great. Justin Ball was absolutely wide open. He only needed to get 8 yards. He gets 11. And it got a little quiet there. And I think it's, again, it's a statement play call like, hey, we are here to play the game to win. We're not just here to play the game. Like Herm Edwards says, you don't just go play it to play it. You play to win. And I thought this was, number one, showing confidence. And Nick and Justin and the whole special teams unit, but it sends a signal to your team, we are here to win the game. All right, we go to Booth for off the left side for 2, back off the right side for 3, makes it 3rd and 5. And then we get it out to Devin Booth. And this is a really good job here of Mike kind of buying some time. And then Booth gets open 19 yards to the Ole Miss 37. We go back to Booth for two. And it's like we're just riding him right here, right? All right, we end up taking a timeout here to avoid a delay of the game. And then we're complete to Kevin Coleman. And just the 1 yard there on the bubble. Give Ole Miss some credit. They kind of snuffed that thing out. And then we're incomplete, taking a shot to Jordan Mosley. Princely, and I'm going to butcher this name, Uman Malin, maybe. We'll call him Princely. Gets in Mike's face. And Princely did a lot. He was in the backfield a lot. Impacted some throws. This is one of them. However, it didn't cost Mississippi State. We find Kevin Coleman in the open field across the middle. And what a great job of running after the catch. And a great job of downfield blocking by your Bulldog receivers. Coleman kind of sets the blocks up and then utilizes him, gets into the end zone. It's a touchdown, and it got really, really quiet at Vaught-Hemingway Stadium. Extra point is good. State now leads 7-3. And you need to get a stop here. You do, and unfortunately we don't. And this is one of the only sustained drives that Ole Miss really had the entire day. Had one explosive, but they didn't have a lot of these drives where they just kind of lined up and just kind of got chunk plays. And we discussed this earlier. Not a lot of success running right. And I don't know if we were just collapsing that right side over there or we just saw some things on film. But they get it out to Antoine Wells here, and it's a loss of 5 yards. Isaac Smith, Hunter Washington, is all over it. They take a shot to Juice Wells, and I thought he was a non-factor in the game. Incomplete. Now it's third and long here, and these are the kinds of plays. This is losing football right here, right? It's third and long, a chance to get off the field here. Third and 15. Big play in the ballgame. And I said that, and Jacob said, don't start saying that because every time you do, they make a conversion. Well, they did. They get it to Caden Priestcorn, who I thought had a good game for Ole Miss. 21 yards out to the Ole Miss 41, but they move the chains and retain possession. All right, then they get it out to Jordan Watkins. He's had some big games against State, not so much yesterday, but a solid game. And then they get it out to Caden Lee. And great tackle here, Bryce Pollock and Stone Blanton forces the third down. Chance for us to get off the field. They give it to Bentley. He had a nice ovation when he took the field. Kind of a bit of a gamble playing him. It's like all of a sudden you play him and he has a big ball game. It makes you look kind of silly for not playing him. Billy moves the chains for the first down. They go back to him for four. Makes it second and six. They get it out to him on a check down. He fights ahead for the first down. Crowd responds. Then they give it to Davis at the middle for three. Jackson Dart gets flushed, takes off the runs for 20 yards here and the first down. Micah Davis up the middle for three. Then Dart keeps again for six. And then J.J. Pegues, they give it to him. He's kind of become a short yardage back for them. And, guys, I'm going to tell you this. I played some football, but not a lot of football, but I know enough about this. You're not going to tackle that big man high. It's not going to happen. Not going to happen. You got to dive at the legs. The trainer may have to come out and see you, but you're never going to tackle a guy that big up high. And he gets into the end zone for the touchdown. And then they flag Isaiah Smith for unsportsmanlike conduct. I'm not exactly sure what happened on the play. We'll go back and watch it. But at the end of the day, I'm kind of glad to see him show some emotion. He's one of our leaders. False start on Micah Pettis. And then the extra point's good. So it's a 10-7 game. And now many of you are thinking, all right, man, Steve, here we go, here we go, here we go. Well, the Bulldog offense is like, you know what? We can play complimentary football too. We didn't get the stop, but we have an opportunity to get the lead, and we do. Van Buren is then complete to Johnny Daniels for four. Johnny Daniels runs for a loss of two. So it's a third down play, and we pick it up and convert here. Find Kevin Coleman across the middle. Really good catch here. Ball was a little bit off target, but a great catch. 16 yards on the play. Michael Van Buren then takes a shot downfield, and Jordan Mosley runs under it, 42 yards on the reception. Inside the Ole Miss 20, we're in the red zone here. So you feel like worst case scenario, we're going to get a tie. Van Buren then gets it out to Seydou, who fights ahead for 9 yards and then fumbles the football. And we get right back on it. They credit the wrong player with it. But nevertheless, we do get the recovery there. And then Van Buren runs off right side for the touchdown. Extra points good. So we end the quarter. Bulldogs up 14-10. And you begin to wonder, is this thing going to be a shootout? You know, this Ole Miss defense is elite. I mean, let's just kind of say it for what it is. We talked about that on Wednesday's show. You know, their numbers are their numbers. And they've played, you know, it's the last game of the year. It's not like they just racked all this up against non-conference opponents. And so you look up and it's like, hey, Jeff Lebby's got a good plan here. Maybe this thing turns into a shootout and State comes up on the winning end of it. But 14-10, and then another really good development to open the second quarter, the Bulldog defense is able to get a stop here. So Dart off the left side for five. Dart takes off again for just one, makes it a third and four, and they try to get it out there to Daquan Wright. Demonte Russell in the face of Dart forces an errant throw. It's a three and out. 56-yard punt from Frazier Mason and return 10 yards by Kevin Coleman. Out to the State 23. So, again, you have the lead and the ball and an opportunity here to go up two scores on the road. And you talk about it getting quiet at Vaught Hemingway. Can you imagine if a two-win Mississippi State team had gone up two scores here in the second quarter? We had our opportunities. Didn't work out. Van Buren gets flushed and then runs off the left side here out of bounds after a gain of one. And then Xavier Harris, a guy that was a former big-time recruit out of Germantown, has done very little with his career, is flagged for unnecessary roughness. And I saw some Ole Miss people complaining about this. This is absolutely the right call. You have a duty to retreat on the sidelines. Maybe you're not familiar with the game of football. But when you step forward and lower your shoulder and make contact with a player that is in the game, even if he's in the white, it is a penalty. This was one of the easiest play penalties that an SEC official has called this year. You have a duty to retreat on the sidelines, period. And anybody that tells you otherwise is just a flaming homer. So 15 yards here. And so like Ole Miss is kind of gifting us along here. We're already out near the 40-yard line. We give it to Booth for two, and then we get a loss of two. So now all of a sudden it's third and 10, a chance to get the ball out to Coleman. And again, Princely in Mike's face forces the errant throw. So we end up having a punt here, but we flip the field. Nick Barmira, great job here, 55-yard punt, and it's touchdown at the Ole Miss 6-yard line. So you think, okay, if we can get a stop here, we have an opportunity to get the ball back near midfield, and maybe, again, we can make this a two-score game. All right, Dart back to pass, gets it out to Watkins at the 10, an 8-yard gain. So it's second and two. They give it to Dominic Thomas. Great job here. Zachary Tillman, who is going to be a great Bulldog. He already is a really good Bulldog. He's going to be a name you know. He and Isaac Smith on the tackle there. Makes it third and two, and then Jackson Dart is sacked. He gets flushed there, and they get it behind the line. Zachary Tillman credited with the sack there. And so it's a three and out. Back-to-back three and outs for your much maligned Bulldog defense. And again, a chance for State to go up two scores on the road in an SEC game. Really nice punt here from Frazier Mason, 56 yards. No return. Kevin Coleman cut down immediately. But State with the ball at 31. And again, a chance for us to really make this game interesting, to kind of take ownership of the game. Van Buren takes a shot. We get it out to Kelly Akari. It's 36 yards. Guys, we're on the attack here. Already inside the Ole Miss 40 at the 33-yard line. We give it to Daniels, who off the left side for two. And then we're incomplete to Jordan Mosley. And they credit Trey Amos with a pass breakup here. Here is one of the things that I noticed yesterday at Ole Miss. Basically, any incompletion where there is a DB within reasonable distance of a receiver, even if the ball is not touched by the DB, they are crediting them with a breakup. That happened three times yesterday. Guys are locked up in coverage. The ball falls incomplete. And they're like, pass breakup on the play for this guy. I mean, we're hearing this on the PA within the press box. And so, obviously, that's some pencil whipping going on there. And it doesn't help anybody. I mean, the pros, I mean, they don't care about the stats. You're going to watch a film. But anyway, I just thought you'd find that interesting. And then Van Buren is sacked for a loss of 11. And what bothers me about this play is everybody in the stadium knew they were going zero coverage here. Everybody knew this. Everybody except apparently Mike. And so it ends up being a loss of 11, takes us out of field goal range. Again, you get the big shot down the field, and then you get a very positive play. You know, you move it up to the 31, it's a manageable second eight. You take the shot down the field, which I'm in favor of, be aggressive. And then we basically, you know, somebody's got to see this. I think they brought seven on the play. But there was an all-out blitz, and they get home. And it's a sack. It's a big, big play for the Ole Miss defense. And State has to punt. Nick Barmier, 31 yards, would like to better punt here. They fair catch it at the 11. So, again, back-to-back opportunities for State to go up two scores. And we don't. And when you've got an offense like Ole Miss has, you can't continue to let them hang around a little bit, and they do. We got them backed up again, and in the very first play, Ulysses Bentley basically right out the middle, untouched, 89 yards for the touchdown. And it's like, hey, we have done so much here, and it's really kind of a microcosm of the season. How many times is like everything just feels like such a struggle? It's like we're working and working and working and working and working, and defense is playing good for us, offense has made some plays. But we have an opportunity to get separation in the game, and you don't. And it really felt like State was controlling things in the middle part of the first half. It certainly in that first quarter, after that one sustained drive, it's like State really kind of dictated terms to Ole Miss, and then on one play, everything changes. One play. And so Bentley breaks into the open field. It's a touchdown, extra points good. So Ole Miss now has the lead 17-14 in a game where it feels like State has really – outplayed them to this point. But you know what? Every one of these plays count. All right, we get the ball back here after the touchback. And Michael Van Buren is incomplete to Craver. We take a shot there. And lucky it went off his hand, but it was a little bit long. Booth up the middle for 11, moves the chain, first down. Van Buren runs off the left side for 8, so it's a very manageable second and 2 here. We go with Booth off the left side for 5, moves the chains, first down. And we're out in their midfield, and you're thinking, okay, now we're back down again. Michael respond, lead the offense down. Well, we take a shot to Kevin Coleman. It falls incomplete here. Daniels in runs for a 1-yard loss. We end up having to take a timeout here. And on third down, we get it out to Devin Booth on the check down and really get nothing from it, just the 1 yard, and have to punt. And kind of a silly penalty here on Mississippi State. The fair catch has been called for, and we get too close. We get too close here. And every yard matters in a game like this. This is a one-possession game. You're going to have them backed up inside the 10, and we get too close, and they flag us a fair catch interference. I didn't think it was egregious, but why are you taking a chance there? I mean, he can't run the football. If he muffs it, you're right there anyway. There's no point. Kind of a freshman mistake. Gives him 15 yards. So from the 8 to the 23, you had a chance to have him backed up. However, the defense picks us up here. Dart complete to Watkins off the right side for 17 yards and out of bounds at the Ole Miss 40. Well, then they give it to Bentley, who's off the right side for 2. Then it's incomplete to Caden Lee. Isaac Smith with the PBU there. They wanted a flag. There was not one coming, nor should there have been. Then it's complete to Jordan Watkins, basically, on a bit of a check down there. And Kelly Jones played his best game to date as a Bulldog. I thought he was great in coverage yesterday. Makes a tackle here. Ole Miss takes a timeout and ends up punting. You know, they act like they're going to go, but they end up punting 40 yards to the MSU 13. So, again, you know, you have this silly penalty, but in the battle of field position, you basically think about that for a second. You never know how a game is going to unfold, if the play calling would be the same. But if we had those 15 yards back, we're almost out at our 30, right? It's a different scenario. The game within the game. Give Ole Miss defense some credit. Again, you know, once State got those 14 points, they really kind of locked some things up. All right, we take over here with 3:33 to play, and you start thinking, okay, we need to go find a way to get points here. Worst case scenario, we got to flip the field, and we can't give up points to them before the half because they get the ball coming out of the half. We can't allow them to go 2-for-1. That was really the big thing for us. So we get to work here, and Van Buren incomplete to Akari, broken up by Isaiah Hamilton. Thought we had him there for a second, but good play by the defense. Booth up the middle for nothing, which makes it a 3rd and 10. We get it out to Mosley for 8 and just can't shake the tackle. And we end up taking a delay of the game. I'm not exactly sure. You know, I know we're trying to eat up some clock here, maybe force them to burn a timeout. But, again, kind of the game within the game. We take a delay of game penalty, but Nick Barmira gets off a decent punt here, 49 yards. to the Ole Miss 35. Rebels get the ball back with less than 2 minutes to play in the half. Bentley up the middle for 9. Back up the middle for 8. Now all of a sudden you start thinking, hey, we got a chance to get points here. They give it back to Bentley for 3. Clock runs. Dart gets loose here for 6. They end up taking a timeout with 56 seconds to play. Then Bentley is stacked up for a loss of 1. Kyle McClendon and Isaac Smith doing the honors there. 2nd and 11. It's complete to Caden Priestcorn for 4 yards, and he gets out of bounds to stop the clock, and it's a first down. Dart then incomplete to Priestcorn. He was complete to Priestcorn for 9 yards. They end up taking a timeout here with 12 seconds to go, and this nearly was disaster for Ole Miss, and they ultimately leave with no points. But I thought, you know, we talk about the discretion being the better part of valor. I thought this was a bit silly. No timeouts left, and so Jackson Dart has 12 seconds to work with, and they get out there, and it seems like State's got it, you know, flushing him. It's taking more time. Tick. It's complete to Caden Lee, and then they call him out of bounds. However, there was an egregious holding call, and it was the right call for 10 yards. That backs it up, makes it a 54-yard attempt. Caden Davis attempts it. It is no good. So State gets out of the half without getting up points. And I thought we managed it pretty well. But, not a lot of offensive production there for State in the second quarter. All right, we pick it right back up here. Rebels going to open up with the ball here in the second half. And, we need...
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Needed to get a stop. Needed to keep it a 1-score game to give our offense a chance here. Dart is incomplete to Jordan Watkins. Bryce Pollock with the pass breakup. Dart then runs off the right side for 3 and then back up the middle for 5. And they end up getting flagged for holding. We turn it down, force the 4th down. They punt. And you begin to wonder, maybe, you know, Lane Kiffin sometimes is a little bit of a riverboat gambler. There's a part of me that wondered, hey, on after State declined the penalty, why don't you maybe just go for it? You know, 4th and 2. But he made the football play, made the smart play, and you kick it away here. And Kevin Coleman cut down immediately by TJ Banks to State 18. So again, State with the football, you have sustained back-to-back drives. You've gotten back-to-back stops. You have the missed field goal attempt at the buzzer, and then you get a stop here. And so back-to-back stops for the Bulldog defense. You've navigated through one of the more difficult parts of the game when it comes to game management without surrendering additional points. So now you have the ball with an opportunity to take the lead, and we don't. It's a big drive for us. Defense comes out there, gets a good stop for us. Offense doesn't play complimentary football. Van Buren across the middle to Kevin Coleman, and that's out to the State 31. Booth up the middle for a 1-yard loss. Walter, no one on the play. And so now all of a sudden, you throw the pick to Trey Washington, and it was a bad pick. It was a bad decision. Both of these picks, this Mike Van Buren threw, bad decisions. And again, discussion about the receiver falling down on the first pick. This was just a terrible play. And how many times have we done it this year where we get possession of the football after turnover on downs early in the second half, and we don't do anything with it? Well, this is one of those opportunities. However, your much maligned Bulldog defense gets State the ball back. Again, I don't know what adjustments Ole Miss made in the second half. They were not very effective. I give Coleman Hutzler and his crew a lot of credit for keeping State in this ball game. Bentley up the middle for 6, and that seems like a good game plan to me. You know, State has not played well in rush defense the entire year. Bentley hadn't played a ton as of late. Probably got fresh legs. They kind of got away from it, though. So after the 6-yard gain, Dart is incomplete to Jordan Watkins for 4 yards right at the sticks. And they give him the first down. Then they go back to Bentley off the right side for one. And again, not a lot going on the right side. Bentley then off the left side, and it's a 7-yard loss. Great play by the Bulldogs there. You force the long, the third and long, and it's incomplete to Caden Priestcorn. And then 37-yard punt. Kevin Coleman makes a fair catch at the state 10. So again, that's three consecutive stops, if not more. And we're going to look at the drive chart when we're done. But the defense keeping you in the game, giving you a chance. You get the ball back again with a chance to take the lead on the road in the second half in a rivalry game in the Southeastern Conference. Van Buren incomplete to Kevin Coleman. Johnny Daniels in up the middle for six, makes it a 3rd and 4, and we're incomplete to Mario Craver, broken up by Jadon Kennedy from them. But again, it's a 3 and out. You know, now the offense is not playing complimentary football, so we got to punt it back to them. Well, again, your Mississippi State defense gets you the ball back without surrendering points. Guys, it is a 6-play negative 1-yard drive. Darts incomplete to Watkins. Bentley then runs to the middle for 8. Back at the middle for 2, first down. And then Micah Davis at the middle for 3. Then a 3-yard loss off the left side. And then Jackson Dart is sacked by Zachary Chilman, his second of the day. What a big play in this ball game it was. And they have to punt. And what do? We muff the punt. Kevin Coleman, sure-handed Kevin Coleman, who has been great all year. And initially it was ruled he didn't touch it. I don't know that he did. The replay that we showed, it was just kind of inconclusive. They apparently saw enough and said his left hand did touch the football. I think it could have gone either way. I'm not going to sit here and tell you it was a bad call, but based on the review that we saw in the booth, there was just not a lot to go on. But clearly he's trying to catch the football. So it's reasonable to assume that you need irrefutable evidence, and apparently they thought they had it. So it's a muff and a fumble, and Ole Miss takes over. And you think, okay, here's where they put us away. They don't. Your Bulldog defense, again, given the short end of the field. And, yeah, it's kind of crazy how it all happens here. Bentley up the middle for a loss of 2. Stone Blanton, really big play there. I thought Stone played exceptionally well. Take a shot down the field to Caden Lee. It's incomplete. Now, by Ole Miss scoring rules, whichever DB was in the close proximity of Lee should have been credited with the pass breakup, whether he touched it or not, but he wasn't. Darton takes a shot down to Juice Wells. Again, no PBU recorded. Again, you can say what you want to. It sounds like a silly thing, but it's what happened. So Juice Wells, again, no factor in this ballgame. And so they take the field goal, and again, disaster strikes, and State is still within a score with the ball on the final possession of the third quarter. It's there for the taking. We just need the offense to pick it up. And again, it's easier said than done against an Ole Miss defense. It's been really good this year. But here you are. You need some maroon magic here. We give it to Booth off the left side for 3. Makes it a 2nd and 7. Back to Booth for 4. Now it's a 3rd and short. We give it to him, and we get 2. I thought we had it. I thought it was a bad spot. And the officials are like, no, it's 4th and short. We're like, okay, cool, we'll go for it. We give it back to Booth, and really thought good push by the offensive line. You move the sticks here. We're complete to Kelly Akari for 9. So it's a 3rd and 1 play here, 2nd and 1. We're up the middle for nothing. And then we go back to Daniels, who moves the chain. So again, we're making some play on the interior here. You're kind of riding behind the guys here. It's a big first down here, and then Ole Miss is like, okay, we got to dial up some pressure here. We can't just let them go down there. We recognize it's a 6-point game. Can't let these guys hang around. And then Van Buren sacked for an 8-yard loss. Rather than panic, we come back, get it out to Akari for 9, makes it a manageable 3rd down, and then we get sacked again. Walter Nolan had a hand in both of those sacks, and you give him credit here. Again, you know, it's closing time in Oxford, and the Ole Miss defense showed up here. So we go to the 4th quarter, and again, guys, it is a 1-score game. And then they finally get a little separation. Finally get some separation. Had not had a sustained drive since the Pegues touchdown run. A lot of these things were on our own worst enemy. But this is a winning drive, and you give Ole Miss credit for putting this thing together. And not to mention, the Bulldog defense had played so incredibly well in the middle part of this ball game, and just could not get enough help from the offense. All right, Dart is complete to Daquan Wright, pardon me, 17 yards. Bentley at the middle for 5, and then back at the middle for 9, makes it a third down play. They get it out to Caden Lee for the first down. Dart then runs off the right side for another first down. Dominic Thomas up the middle for 3, and they're flagged for holding. And then it's where you start thinking, okay, maybe we can get off the field here. Well, then give Dart some credit, but we got to make a play here. You know, Dart gets most of that yardage back, the penalty yardage plus 2, Zachary Tillman on the tackle. And so now all of a sudden, you know, you're right back in a manageable situation. They give it to Thomas for 2, and they take a shot down the field to Caden Lee. We're flagged for PI. The initial look, I didn't think it was. When they showed the replay, it was obvious it was PI on Corey Ellington. And the truth of the matter is, if he doesn't commit PI there, maybe a touchdown. Maybe they should have credited him with a PBU. But nevertheless, the right call was made. So now all of a sudden, you go from a third down situation to a first down situation. It's incomplete down to Jordan Watkins. And again, no state DB credited with PBUs, even though there was tight coverage on the play. It was Kelly Jones. Dominic Thomas in the middle for 5. And then Dart lays it up, gets pressure in his face. No Bulldog credited with the quarterback hurry there, but does get pressure in his face. And Caden Prescorn just out jumps Hunter Washington in the end zone there. Didn't have it initially. Really good job of him focusing as the ball comes loose. He secures the catch. They go for 2 and don't get it. And we pick it off there, and those 2 points could have been very significant. Truly. But in the end, it didn't matter. State gets the ball back, down 26-14. Is complete to Kevin Coleman. We take a big shot down the field here. This is the 10 yards. Then we go back to Coleman. It's broken up by Isaiah Hamilton. Van Buren gets flushed, runs ahead, no gain. It's complete to Davin Booth, 20 yards on the play, across midfield on the Ole Miss territory. And then we take a shot to Kevin Coleman, and you guys felt like I did too. When Kevin didn't score on this, I thought this is going to be like pulling teeth, and it was. It's crazy, man. It's crazy. Kevin Coleman, you know, like if that ball is like 6 inches shorter, he's going to coast into the end zone. I mean, great throw. I'm not being critical of the throw, but it's just one of those things that happen. You know, we talk about football being a game of inches. Here we go. So State right there again, a chance to make a game of it. We give it to Booth up the middle for nothing, and I'm okay with that. And then we run Van Buren basically zone read play. I don't like running Mike up the middle. I just don't think he has the girth yet. I like running him off right side. We've done it a lot. But get him outside, let him play a little bit. And so it's a 1 yard loss. So it's, you know, it's third and goal now. And then we get the false start. And how many times this year have we got in the red zone, had a false start or a holding penalty that makes it more difficult than it has to be? We get it out to Seydou. He dives ahead, gets 5 yards on the play. And now it's fourth and goal at the 2. And we take a shot to Kevin Coleman. They roll a PBU here. I don't think there was a PBU. I think it was just a hot play, and Kevin just couldn't make the catch. Not being critical of Kevin. But they credit him with a PBU. That's something that we should probably go back and look at all that. It's crazy. Nevertheless, any Ole Miss back within close proximity of receiver didn't catch football got a PBU. I mean, that's more major and minor things now, but it was just an interesting phenomenon. All right, so basically Ole Miss now with a 2-possession lead and ball possession with 5:46 to go. They basically just kind of put the game away here. Dominic Thomas at the middle for 1, back at the middle for 10. That moves the chains. Thomas again at the middle for 1. We take a timeout with 4:45 to play. Never get the ball back. Thomas off the right side for 3. Timeout State. That's your second one. Jackson Darts then complete to Caden Lee for first down. And the game is over at this point, right? I mean, just, you know, it is what it is. Bentley at the middle for 4. Ole Miss takes a timeout. Bentley at the middle for 3. State takes the final timeout. Dart up the middle for 10. First down. Bentley off the right side for nothing. Bryce Pollock with the tackle. Ulysses Bentley off the right side, nothing. And then they try, hey, we're not getting anything on the right side. Let's take the left. Jackson Dart off the left side for nine. And that's it. Pegues up the middle for one, and that runs out the clock. That's your ball game. And here's the thing. I always want to win the Egg Bowl. I don't know how you guys feel, but I don't care how good they are or how good we are or how bad one of us is. I always want to win the game. And so, no, I don't feel any measure of victory that we played it close. And I think that's one of the things. Listen, I'm not saying we got to go off the ledge of negativity here, but anytime that we're just hoping to play it close with Ole Miss, we're not in a good position. We should always expect to win that game, period. We always should. And we should never go out there looking to just play to get the game over. And there have been some times in the past I think we've done that. You know, certainly that 2008 Egg Bowl was one of them. But they were the better team, too. But we were just ready to get out of there. And I thought Jeff Lebby was there to win the game. I think the fake punt, a couple fourth down plays. You're telling your team we're here to win. And I'm not going to sit here and State nearly did, but State certainly had a chance to win. State with 16 first downs in the game, Ole Miss with 21. State gets 10 of theirs through the air. Ole Miss, no real surprise there. Gets theirs on the ground. Both teams awarded one first down by penalty. That's interesting. All right, State, we knew we weren't going to be able to run the ball with great success because Ole Miss is really good in rush defense, but we ended up 39 yards rushing in the game on 30 attempts, and some of that, too, you had to factor in the sack yards. They ran for 254. Is that a shock? It's not. And we talked about Bentley. I was told in pregame he was going to start. Put that on the jeanspage.com message boards. He was going to start. He didn't start, but he was the featured back much of the day. If I told you that Michael Van Buren would double Jackson Dart's passing numbers, you might think we've won the game. 291 yards passing for State, 143 for Ole Miss and Jackson Dart. Van Buren, 18 of 33, two picks, both of them drive killers, obviously. Jackson Dart, 14 of 24, no picks, no touchdowns. I guess he did have a touchdown. What are we talking about? He had one. And Dart, of course, I thought was the difference in the ballgame. I thought he managed the game really well. Average depth of target for State was 8.8. Ole Miss, just 6. Average completion for State, 16. Ole Miss had to check it down a lot. I give it to Bulldog secondary a lot of credit. Total offense, they only outgained us by 67 yards. If I told you that before the game, you'd have thought we won. State with 330, Ole Miss with 397. State flag for 6 penalties, 46 yards. Ole Miss, 4 of 40. So no appreciable gain there. I mean, you know, the big P.I. that was a P.I. on Ellington was a big penalty. But didn't really change much. And even, the Xavier Harris 15-yarder, I mean, State ultimately gives the ball back there, you know. So not a lot of penalties that were game-changing by any stretch of the imagination. State punted 6 times, so did Ole Miss. State averaged 43.5, Ole Miss 45.3. State with 4 inside the 20. One of over 50, Ole Miss with 3 inside the 20 and 2 of over 50. State forced 3 fair catches, Ole Miss just 1. And if we had forced another fair catch, maybe it's a different story today. Nevertheless, look at some individual numbers here. Let's see here. Individual numbers. Okay, Mike Van Buren, 17 of 32. Nick Barmira, great final game for him. Throws a pass, converts a first down. Yeah, pretty interesting numbers there. And Nick's been great for Mississippi State. Really, really proud of him and his contributions. Davin Booth, 16 carries for a total of 38 yards, a long of 11. Van Buren, 8 for negative 9. Johnny Daniels, 6 of 10. Really needed Johnny to have a bigger ball game. Didn't have a lot of opportunities. The curious case of Ulysses Bentley solved. 20 carries for 136 yards, and of course the one play of 89. And Jackson Dart ran 13 times for 77 yards. Of course, he was sacked a couple times. Kevin Coleman led all receivers with 6 catches, had 118 yards and the touchdown. Wish it would have been 2. I know Kevin does too. Kelly Akari, 3 for 54. Jordan Mosley, 2 for 50. Of course, DeLong, a 42. Davin Booth caught 3 balls out of the backfield, all of them very important for 40 yards, DeLong of 20 there. Caden Prescorn, leading receiver for Ole Miss, 4 catches, 53 yards, and the touchdown. And it's a nice job of him kind of working the back line there. Defensively, Stumblatt led Mississippi State with 14 tackles. Isaac Smith with a dozen, also had a pass breakup. Brandon Jennings with 9 tackles. Demonte Russell with 6 in his last game as a Bulldog. Bryce Pollock with 6. Brian Lanier with 5. Zachary Tillman with 5 and 2 sacks. Defensively for Ole Miss, Walter Nolan led the way with 8 tackles, and with State trying to run the ball up the middle, it kind of stands for reason. Chris Paul Jr. had 6 tackles, and of course the pick on the opening drive there. Jaden Kennedy had 6 tackles and a pass breakup. I think everybody had a pass breakup. It was like an Oprah Winfrey moment. But, and the game is what it is, right? And, we lose the game. And you play to lose. You play to win. You don't play this to play it. And I thought that we came out and played with good effort, and I thought the Bulldog defense played perhaps their best game of the year. And it's so interesting, State didn't even get credit for that. Well, this is an Ole Miss team that has quit. Well, why did they have hats and cigars after the game if the game didn't mean anything? Everybody, we talk about rivalry games, right? And there's so much, confusion, I guess, in the mind of many Ole Miss fans about who their rivals are. Did you guys smoke cigars after beating Vanderbilt for years? No. No, did you smoke cigars after beating OSU? No, but you've got hats and cigars after you beat Mississippi State. So I don't need to be your rival, but we are your rival. I mean, my self-esteem is in no way impacted by what you think about that sort of stuff. But you can say one thing on message boards, but your administration doesn't mirror that shade of things. But again, State scores 14 points in the first quarter and then doesn't score the rest of the game. When you don't score in the final three quarters, chances of winning go down tremendously, especially when your opponent scores in every quarter. Ole Miss, a 10-point first quarter, and then a 7-point second quarter, 3 in the third, and then just 6 in the fourth. So, 26 points. If we told you before this, hey, State's going to hold Ole Miss 26 points, you would think we'd won the game. This was not a defensive failure. This was an offensive failure. The loss in this game is on the Mississippi State offense. Now, everybody else will say, well, Steve, we only scored 14. We should have held them to 13. But the reality of it is, Ole Miss comes out and gets a field goal and a touchdown, and then State forces back-to-back punts. You give up a touchdown in the second, and then here you go. The next group, starting after that touchdown, when Ole Miss went up 17-14, after that, your Bulldog defense forces a punt, the missed field goal, a punt, a punt, a punt. So you get 5 straight stops by your defense. 5. 5 straight stops, and we didn't get any points offensively during that stretch. So it is what it is. Those are factual comments. When you get 5 stops against an explosive offense like Ole Miss, you better go score, because at some point they're going to get it going again. They're just too good a team not to. And when your defense is playing that well, you have to reward them with points. That's just the reality of things. And so Egg Bowl's in the books, and we got a few more things to talk about before we get out of here, and I'm going to spend a lot of time watching college football today. But that's the 2024 Egg Bowl, and it goes the way of the Rebels. And Lane Kiffin has lost just 1 Egg Bowl against Mississippi State. That's a trend that Jeff Lebby has to turn around immediately, beginning with the road date for Ole Miss to Starkville in 2025. All right, time for today's Top 10 List. As always, brought to you by closewithblair.com. That's C-L-O-S-E with Blair, B-L-A-I-R.com. Blair Chandler is my friend, your friend, our collective friend in the mortgage industry. Guys, Blair's been doing this nearly 24 years. You never know what you're going to need in adult life. Well, you're going to need a mortgage guy. You want to buy a home, whether it be your new home, your first home, or your retirement home, look no further than the fine services available to you through closewithblair.com. Blair's phone number, 601-500-2344. Again, 601-500-2344. Several Boneyard listeners have closed loans with Blair that perhaps couldn't have been closed to other people. We've had one particular person that got turned down and in another state and got approved through Blair. Blair is licensed to practice in multiple states. You can reach out to him and find out if he can help you. It's a very complicated process. You need somebody with some know-how. Give Blair's 24 years of experience working for you. Get you in a great deal. Get you in a great home. Get the pre-qualification letter. That's one of the best steps you can take when purchasing a home. You don't want to be out there shopping above your means. You want to see a very motivated real estate agent, and we have some great ones within the Mississippi State family. Get that pre-qualification letter, and you'll be at the closing table and in your new home sooner than you think. CloseItBlair.com. Okay, quickly, we're going to go through this because we got a lot to cover before we get out of here. It's songs about the future. Songs about the future. We're in a bad space right now. We all see it. And let's just kind of talk about it. It is what it is, right? We need to get players. The portal is going to be a part of that. What happens over the course of the next 30 days is going to determine the quality of the 2025 season. We need some good things to happen. We need some big portal wins. We need guys to get here and get acclimated and get up to speed on what Jeff Lebby and this staff has in store, right? That's the reality of it. You got to get guys in and get them acclimated. We've seen some goodbyes out there from Justin Ball and Kelly Akari and Suleiman Paka and others, and we appreciate their contributions to Mississippi State. Let's look ahead here. Number 10 on our list, Our Lady Peace. If you don't know that, they were a great band through the 90s, early 2000s. Still doing some shows from time to time, but the question is, will the future blame us? We are the stewards of Mississippi State Athletics right now. The actions that we take as a fan base will determine the future of this program. There's so many people that won't buy in and want ownership of Mississippi State Athletics. This is it, right? Our support financially, attendance-wise, and really kind of social media-wise kind of helps establish the brand. And when I look back at some of the folks that were involved in the unsettled nature of things, during Duty Noble's time here, led to Alan McKean being fired, the winningest coach in Mississippi State history. We fired our Bear Bryant to satisfy the needs of some, and so history is not on their side. We look back, they do hold blame, and you can read about that in The Dude. You can get a copy of The Dude wherever great books are sold, but also from DutyNobleBook.com. Number 9, a band that Roy loves. It's The Fix. You know them from One Thing Leads to Another. That's their big hit there. The great album, Reach the Beach. Built for the future. That's what we're hoping for, that we are built for the future at Mississippi State, that we're taking steps administratively and fan base-wise to equip our student athletes to move forward with a winning future. Number 8, it's Europe. It's not the final countdown. It's In the Future to Come. Pretty good song, too. Pretty good song. Be sure and check that one out. Number 7, Gavin Rossdale. I'm a big Bush fan. Hope you guys are too. Been jamming some Bush here as of late. Getting deeper in the catalog on my travels. It's Gavin Rossdale's Future World. Number 7. Number 6, going back a few years, it's Alice Cooper's I Am the Future. The production value of this song is not great. The music is. It'd be nice if they remastered that. Number 5, it's Night Ranger, it's Walk in the Future, and that's what we got to think about. We can't think about the now. We got to take steps now to ensure that we have a much more profitable future and progressive future when it comes to student athletes at Mississippi State. Number 4, for you grunge folks, many people think it's just kind of the big three. It's Nirvana, it's Pearl Jam, it's Soundgarden, and that's a good group to start with, but Mudhoney, one of the most successful bands in the Seattle scene. It's Where is the Future? That's a question many people are asking right now. Steve, is it always going to be this way? I'm going to sit here and tell you no. It's not always going to be this way. Number 3, one of the more cheery songs from one of the most depressive artists of my lifetime. It's Morrissey, former lead singer of the Smiths. The great song, What Time Is Now. But our countdown today is In the Future When All Is Well. And that's what we're looking forward to, is to win ball games, get back into ball games, compete for championships. That's what we're striving for. Number 2, you may not know this, many of you don't, but Fleetwood Mac did 9 albums before Lindsey Buckingham and Stevie Nicks joined the band. Now, all the big hits obviously came with Buckingham and Nicks. It's clear they needed a new direction. And Bob Welch was kind of the founder of Fleetwood Mac, and I guess John McVie was with the band then. Christine McVie joined the band for the album Future Games. That's number 2 on your list. Bit of a psychedelic sound to Fleetwood Mac before they became kind of a top 40 crossover band. I think you'll dig this one. But I'm going to be honest with you. There's a reason Fleetwood Mac was struggling before Stevie Nicks and Lindsey Buckingham joined the band. Lindsey, an incredible guitar player, and of course Stevie Nicks, a legend in her own right. But the songwriting got much better when Buckingham Nicks joined the forces of Fleetwood Mac. They kind of found their groove in the late 70s, early 80s. Number one, though, one of the more beautiful songs you've never heard. It's the Scorpions, "The Future Never Dies." And it's one of those things at Mississippi State we're always thinking about next year. It's always next year. Well, there's not always next year. It's a thing that we've learned in life. We're not guaranteed tomorrow. Not guaranteed next year. So we have to take steps today to ensure that we leave the Mississippi State athletic programs in the hands of young people that find it better than we did. And there's so much of that as a young person that I remember. You know, I'm never going to get settled with two-win seasons. That's never just going to be, it's acceptable. It's unacceptable for us to win two games. We had a lot of challenges this year. It was year one under Jeff Labby. I still believe in Jeff Labby. I know that he is going to make some interesting decisions and do what's best for Mississippi State football. There are a lot of people out there obviously calling for Coleman Hutzler to be fired. The numbers certainly suggest that there should be a change defensively. But I get the sense that I have for some time, and I've said on the show and on the jeanspage.com message boards, I don't think Labby wants to move on from him. I think Labby realizes that we are talent deficient. It is not just about talent, as I have said on this show, especially when you think about just yesterday's game. The defense didn't lose that game. The offense lost the game 14 points in the first quarter and then shut out the rest of the ball game. And give Ole Miss credit, too, for making plays to win the game. But Coleman Hutzler has nothing to hang his head about yesterday. Mississippi State defensively played exceptionally well. And as we mentioned, you know, you get five straight stops and the offense can't play complimentary football. That's an issue. We've got to upgrade some things. And again, Ole Miss only averaging, giving up less than 14 points a game, 13.8. We're right there at the average. So they gave an average performance. Offensively, we did not. Defensively, it was one of the best efforts of the year. And I'm not sitting here advocating for Coleman Hutzler. My loyalty is to Mississippi State. But I support every coach that works at Mississippi State as long as they work at Mississippi State. That's just the way that I've chose to do it my entire life. I am a Mississippi State guy first. I am a principles before personalities guy. My loyalty is to the maroon and white, not to an individual. We've had some coaches in the past that have come in here and said a lot of great things and then not delivered on what they promised. I believe Jeff Labby is going to do that. We've got to get some players in order to kind of take the step forward, and that's really where we are now. Along those lines, too, we're beginning to get some reports out there that players planning to go in the portal. Well, that's not going to open until December the 9th, but there will be some guys that kind of go ahead and get ahead of the game and announce they're going to be in the portal. And that's a smart way to do it. If you know you're going to go in, the sooner you get it out, the best. Creed Whittemore, no surprise there. Creed Whittemore going to be in the portal. We've basically known that since he elected to redshirt. But, you know, he continued to participate in team activities, and he was on the scout team. And I can tell you a lot of people said that, you know, he still played and performed at a very high level for us, working to stay in shape, all that good stuff. A lot of people felt like, you know what, Creed shouldn't have access to the facilities. And that's a decision that Jeff Labby made and probably deserves some criticism for that. But I don't know the relationship or the dynamics behind that. I have no clue what conversations Jeff Labby and Creed Whittemore had. But Creed not going to be Bulldog moving forward. And so the reality of it is there are going to be some guys that come in and come out, and that's going to be part of the deal. J.J. Harrell, a guy that was a hero to Mississippi State this time last year, helping keep this class together. We have heard murmurings about J.J.'s discontent way back to the spring, that he was not getting enough reps and felt that he should be played more. And then he sees Mario Craver, obviously a true freshman, play significant snaps this year. Stonka Burnside, one of his best friends, also played some significant snaps this year. Some people think Stonka's better off playing safety. Maybe he was, but maybe that's something that's got to be figured out in the offseason. But the reality of it is those guys have expected to go in the portal. And I think Chris Parsons is a name you got to watch too. Yeah, Chris Parson, obviously, the guy that signed, committed under Mike Leach and signed under Zach Arnett, was kind of thrown to the wolves at times last year, played a little bit this year, but you get him his redshirt year. He's got a redshirt year from last year. But, you know, it's clear that he is not Jeff Lebby's guy. And that's not to be critical of Chris by any stretch of the imagination, but you go out and you sign Michael Van Buren, and then Blake Chapin gets injured, and then it's Michael Van Buren that gets the start the rest of the year. So if you're Chris Parson, that's a hint and a half that your playing opportunities are probably going to be somewhere else. Now, one of the things you got to think about, too, Blake Chapin in line to get the medical hardship year. What happens if Michael Van Buren? What if Michael Van Buren gets an offer he can't refuse and he leaves? You know, if you're Chris Parson, you got to think, well, I want to be somebody's first choice. And so I think there's a real possibility that in the event that Mike decides to leave, and I don't know, I don't have any evidence, I'm just aware of the possibility. If Chris and Mike both leave, you got Camario coming in, you probably got to go get a backup by the portal. That's something to consider as well. Blake Chapin is a guy that was banged up last year at Baylor and, of course, misses all but four games this year. And so, again, we're very confident about Blake being back, but you got to think about the quarterback situation. The Mississippi State could look much different next year. And we'll keep you up to date as best we can on the comings and goings in the transfer portals. Matter of fact, once we get done with the show, I'm going to write an article up, you know, and we'll keep that updated and pinned to the top of the board about who's transferring out, who's transferring in. And Mississippi State already with one transfer in, Javen Williams, defensive back from Kennesaw State. We expected to sign about 20 in the portal. All right, next segment of the show brought to you by Campus Bookmart. Campus Bookmart, a Starkvillian institution. We love Campus Bookmart, as we should. If you're looking for Mississippi State gear, whether it be apparel, you know, knickknacks, gift ideas, those diploma frames, I've shared with you before, that's just one of those great, great gifts that that is retained. You know, a lot of times you give a gift and it has a shelf life, but a diploma frame is something that'll last forever. You don't go out and replace those, right? And especially when somebody you love gives you those gifts. So you can find diploma frames, clothing, anything you need for Christmas, all your Bulldogs on your list want Mississippi State merch. Yes, they do. Visit them online at campusbookmart.net. And by being a Lawyer Boneyard listener, you get a phrase that pays. That is BSR, which stands for Beautiful Steve Robertson. That gets you free shipping on all orders over $75. Any order less than $75, absolutely incomplete. Okay, let's transition over to basketball here. A lot of basketball stuff in our future. The Mississippi State women win the Cayman Islands Classic, the kind of a crazy game to open against Utah. We knew it would be a challenge. And State gets off to a great start, 26-11 in the first quarter, 17-11 in the second. So you look up, it's 43-22, and State is just absolutely cruising. And then in the second half, they change ends, and Utah kind of flips the script, 15-11 in their favor in the third quarter, and then they outscore us by 13 in the fourth, and State has to hang on to win 66-62. One of our very astute Twitter followers pointed out, maybe it's a rim issue. Right, like when State had the favorable rim, State dominated scoring. When Utah had the favorable rim, they dominated in scoring. Maybe there's some truth to that. It is the Caymans after all. Bulldogs now 7-0 after that ball game. Utah drops to 5-2. State wins 66-62. And pretty crazy, like down the stretch, you know, State actually got in a situation despite leading and dominating much of this game. All of a sudden, you get down in the final moments, and it's like, are we fixing to lose this game? It was a real possibility. Utah takes the lead on a three by Kennedy McQueen with 1:23 to go to make it 60-59 in favor of the Utes. So the Bulldogs have to dig down deep. Actually, State turns it over and has to go make some plays. End up taking a timeout there, and we get a tip in by Medina Okot to give State the lead with 28 seconds to go. They end up having a foul there too, and Medina makes the free throw to give State a 2-point advantage. Denham DeShields comes in, and you know, a player that we're expecting some big things from, and she gets a steal off of Jenna Johnson there, turns it over, and they end up having a foul. And she makes both of the free throws to put State up 64-60. with just 24 seconds to play. So it's a two-possession game. And State ends up tacking on a couple of free throws here at the end, and Utah makes a basket really of no consequence. But so State wins the ball game, and a good test for the Bulldogs. A good test. We knew it would be, and State passes the test, sets up the championship game against South Florida. And in this game here, it just kind of felt like State was just kind of the better team throughout here. South Florida gets the early lead, 16-13. State comes back, and it's 16-15 there in the second quarter. And State just down a bit. But in the second half, State outscores them 30-21 to win 59-52. Kind of looking at some numbers here for the ladies. Ja'Kayla Jordan, 20 points in the ballgame. Anaya Russell with 10. And, you know, wasn't a great offensive night. State shoot 38% from the field and just 15.38% from three, but pretty good in free throw shooting, right at 72%. So the women win the Cayman Classic, remain undefeated. And now you start thinking kind of about what's next for the Bulldogs. You're 8-0 undefeated Bulldogs. And every game before these last two had been absolute blowout affairs. So State goes out of the country, plays on a neutral court against two teams, and defeats them both. South Florida, I don't think, as good as Utah, but you know, State finds a way to get it done. And the Bulldogs back in action, Humphrey Coliseum, on Wednesday. It's also the opening of the national signing period for the December, the early period. Bulldogs will host Georgia Tech. We'll talk about that later in the week. We'll be back on Monday to do a show. We'll kind of look ahead and kind of talk about kind of where things go from here. But yeah, that'll be an interesting game. You know, the Georgia Tech team, you know, we talk about, you know, historically, there have been a lot of teams that have done a good job at Georgia Tech. And looking at the women's side of this Georgia Tech team, you know, the Ramblin' Wreck here, they're going to play this Sunday against FAMU. We expect that to be a dub. But they're 6-0, you know. So you need to think about coming out Wednesday being a part of things. Pretty significant wins for them, too. We'll preview them later in the week, but they already beat Georgia and Oregon this year. So they will not be intimidated to take on Mississippi State in the McCamish Pavilion on Wednesday. So if you were in the greater Atlanta area, let me encourage you to turn out, be a part of that. And it's a big game. It's an absolutely big game. 6:15 tip Central. We broadcast on the ACC network. All right, on the men's side, we weren't quite as fortunate. And yeah, I got a few things to say about this game because of the fact that I think in some respects, the game against Butler, we were kind of exposed a little bit. Some of our worst fears kind of came to light in the game. Bulldogs now 6-1. You know, we win the first game against UNLV, and really look good doing it. You know, that's the thing, too. Like, we've had some games as of late where we get behind at the break, and then we rally back in the second half. State pretty much dominated this game throughout, maybe after the first couple of minutes. State with a 45-32 lead at the half, and then you outscore them 35-26 to roll to an 80-58 victory. Josh Hubbard with 11 points, but, man, Keyshawn Murphy continuing to play well. 14 points for him. Pulled down 13 rebounds. But, yeah, good night. And, of course, that sets up the win against the contest against Butler. I'm hustling back from Oxford. We get to the break, and I'm thinking, okay, you know, we're okay. We're okay. We've been a second-half team. We will be again today. We're down just six. We've overcome greater deficits than that. And we end up losing. And, of course, you know, State pulls even a couple times there in the second half, and we just could never get over the hump. Butler shoots 52% from the field, and then knocked down almost 55% from three, 12 of 22. Our perimeter defense at times really struggled. Their length and size were a problem for us. Now, Josh Hubbard with 22, and a big game for Riley Kugel, also with 22. Cam Matthews with 14, and I thought there was a stretch down that, you know, in the final minutes where it looked like Cam was going to try to lead us to victory. He was unable to do so. Michael Nwaka with 11 points, too, needed his length in that ball game. Kanye Cleary got the start last night, did not score. 0-5 from the field. But Keyshawn Murphy, just 17 minutes and 12 rebounds, but just 6 points. And again, I think their size, you know, the screen kid hurt us. He really did. Now, we're not going to see a lot of guys like him. But Andre Screen, even though he didn't fill up the box score, he did have 9 boards and 6 points. He just disrupted a lot of things. Now, we're going to see some guys with that length and that girth in the Southeastern Conference. But I thought Jamil Telfort was great for them. And we gave up way too many easy baskets in this game. I mean, the lane at times was just kind of wide open. And they ran some motion stuff and were able to create. But he was excellent. And Pierre Brooks, kind of the emotional leader of that team, 22 points, 9 rebounds. Hand us our first loss. And that's disappointing. It is. But the reality of it is we knew we weren't going to win them all. But 17 of 27 from beyond the arc. And they're knocking down 5 more 3-pointers. That's a difference in the ballgame. It is. And so State drops the game 87-77. And there were times, again, I thought we'd make a run late, and we just couldn't get it done. Give Butler some credit. And so we regroup and move on. But, yeah, when teams have girth and length, especially in the post, it's going to be a challenge. Now, Humphrey Coliseum, Wednesday. Earlier I said the women. I had to correct myself. We're looking to black out the hump. It's going to be a big ball game against Pitt. We'll talk about more of that as we get into next week's show. It's going to be a late tip, though, 8:15. And I know many of you travelers that come up for the game, let me encourage you to go ahead and begin to caffeinate yourselves and begin thinking about some coffee. We need you in Humphrey Coliseum. We need a capacity crowd to take on Pitt. And the hump has been a very, very difficult place to play over the years. We need it to be that way on Wednesday. So Bulldogs absorbed a loss. My confidence in this team is in no way diminished. It was just simply one of those nights. We had a tough time getting some things to fall. We had some empty possessions, and at times we struggled to get stops, but way too many easy baskets, and Chris Jans will get that fixed. There'll be a lot more people running all that motion trying to get guys to the rim with impunity, and there were some guys last night that did so. All right, final segment of the show brought to you by the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. I love the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. I will be there in about a month. Cannot wait. Again, you know, kissing my grandgirls this morning was very difficult. I know that I'll see them in a few weeks. That's an amazing thing to know. You'll get to see them soon, and we'll just kind of get a chance to take a couple days off and enjoy being together. And so we look forward to that. If you want to have a great get-together with your family and get everybody under one roof, maybe you've downsized and you don't have the bedroom space to accommodate all the kids and the grandkids again, consider staying at the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. Whether it's a work crew, a family crew, a college roommates crew, it's a chance for everybody to get together under one roof. Full-service kitchen, you got the wet bar, that great back porch area, the fire pit area, 5, soon-to-be 6 bedrooms and 2 baths. Plenty of room for everybody spread out, a great living area, and it's just kind of off the beaten path, but it's just 5 minutes away from the Mississippi State campus. How cool is that? Kind of tucked away in one of the nice, quiet corners of our great city, and so incredibly close to all the places and things you love about Starkville. Now, when you Google Stark Vegas Clubhouse, you're going to come across some booking options. You're going to have Airbnb and VRBO. You can go that route if you want to. But if you want to save some money, and I suspect you do, book through the Evolve website and use promo code BSR10. That's BSR10. Get you 10% off your stay by booking through Evolve. Maybe you've got it better than me. I don't know. But I don't like to just give money away that it's unnecessary. That's the case there. Book through the Evolve website. You'll be glad you did. The Stark Vegas Clubhouse, the best place to stay in the Golden Triangle. All right, so we talk about kind of what's next. We have 5 official visitors on campus this weekend. We have spoken about some of those. Kind of kept everybody abreast in the bones this week of kind of what to expect. And so you've got Peyton Joseph, a commitment to Florida State, and Isaiah Mitchell, a commitment to Cincinnati, both arriving this morning. They had football games last night. Peyton Joseph is a 4-star offensive line prospect out of Houston County. Again, committed to Florida State. This is a guy we expect to be a guard. could be center, I'm told. He is a guy that understands the checks, fairly intelligent guy. Isaiah Mitchell, 5'11", 175. He and Quentin Gibson were kind of competing for the same spot at State, and Gibson, of course, takes the commitment to Colorado. You may have seen Shannon Sharp and you know, Chris Johnson, those guys kind of hyping up what Deion's doing on the recruiting trail. Those two guys, again, arriving on Saturday. Now, Jakeem Shumpert, Matthew LaFoe, and Jamarcus Moy got here yesterday. We even had some staff stay behind at the SEAL complex to kind of help coordinate all that, make sure everybody gets checked in. Everybody didn't go to the ball game. We had to have some people stay behind and just kind of ensure everything went as it was supposed to. So when the staff gets back from the battle for the Golden Egg, they have to go right to work talking with you know, these new recruits. There is a real possibility that State can gonna have a huge weekend here. Maybe you get four, possibly five of these guys. You know, one of the things that helps us with the Houston County kids is Ricky Johnson came in last year, a guy that has had a great experience this year, able to retain a red shirt, I believe. But, you know, Jakeem Shumpert, a guy from Shannon, Mississippi, by way of Northwest Mississippi Community College, is here. I feel pretty confident we're going to get him. Matthew LaFoe out of Shasta College. This is probably a Mississippi State-Florida battle. You know, we'll see how things go. Jamarcus Moy, State hadn't offered him yet, but he's here. I suspect that he'll probably get the offer this weekend. He's in a position of need. I know Alabama's been in contact with him, among others. He's got several offers. But he would fill an immediate need for Mississippi State. Guys, we need girth on the interior defensive line. We absolutely do. How many times you see it this year, we couldn't create congestion in the middle, and we couldn't keep those guards off the linebackers, which lead to gap plays, right? I mean, you get gashed when you can't stop people. You got to be strong up the middle. And Moy is a guy, even if he doesn't fill up the box score, is a guy that can get in there and just kind of eat up space. So five official visitors this weekend. And, you know, a chance to get them all. I'm not predicting that. But I do think State will probably get, you know, probably as few as three, as many as four. You could get all five, but I'm not ready to sit here and say that. Now, on Wednesday, we have the opening of the December signing period. So on Monday, we're going to talk a little bit about kind of what the weekend looked like, what's next for Mississippi State. Do we have some guys that kind of hold their decisions until Wednesday? You know, Moy may be one of those guys. You know, maybe he makes a decision this weekend. I mean, there's nowhere else to visit between now and Wednesday. Now, he could always delay the decision, but I don't think that's going to be the case. But, yeah, Mississippi State, you know, we talk about what we have and where we are. It's a big question. People say, Steve, where are we? Well, we're ranked 30th right now in the country. We'd like to have a top 25 class. And, of course, you've got a lot of junior college guys. They're weighted differently. Braden Turnage is a commitment that has not been rated just yet. So, State, within the top 30, and, you know, again, it's all weighted. We're going to have to get some wins in the portal, but we could be in a situation where we get a top 25 class for Coach Jeff Lebby between now and the end of December. Because once we get through Wednesday, it's full go, right? It's full go the rest of the way, but it's all portal guys. Probably a smart thing in some respects to allow the high school and junior college guys to sign before the portal craziness, because the portal didn't open until the 9th. And so you'll have a chance to kind of recalibrate, get everything knocked out, get your high school and JUCO guys signed, begin to kind of work towards getting them transitioned to campus. A lot of those guys can be mid-year transfers, guys that can enroll. So you got to think about housing. You got to think about all those things. And then next thing you know, and of course they're doing due diligence now. There's a lot of guys out there that are kind of letting it be known they're going to go in the portal. Well, then after the December signing period, you start bringing these portal guys to camp. Now, of course, they do not sign a letter of intent. You just sign a financial aid agreement. And that doesn't preclude teams outside of your conference from continuing to recruit you. We have seen some of that happen to some of our SEC neighbors. But the reality of it is that there's going to be basically two phases to December recruiting. We'll get through Wednesday. It'll be all portal traffic the rest of the year. And the quality of next season is going to be determined in the next 30 days. Simple as that. Now, I'm going to go ahead and make sure you guys are aware of this, because there's some of these alarmists that post in the Facebook groups that anytime something negative happens or perceived to be negative, I just don't understand. Are we even going to build a football team next year? Guys, the outgoing traffic comes first. Guys have to enter the portal first. So around the country, you're going to have a lot of guys announce their intentions to go in the portal. And then people are going to freak out. These are not your kids. These are not people that you've grown up with. You know, these are people that had to think about what's best for them. If they're not going to play here, they need to go somewhere else. They can't. You only get a short time in life to play sports. I'm the kind of guy, I would rather play on a losing team than be a bench warmer for a winning team. You go through all this stuff. You want to get some payoff. You want to have the opportunity to play. That's the whole point in practicing. You don't want to practice and just be a guy that just kind of sits around and is a bit of a, holding a dummy, a tackling dummy. That's not my aspirations in life. Maybe it is for you. If it is, I think less of you. You want to be able to get on the field at some level and play. You make some big memories. You learn some big lessons. All that's important. So the outgoing portal traffic comes first. And then the incoming traffic comes in. Because we already got Javon Williams committed. That's a rarity to have a guy already committed from the portal. It's a rarity. But understand, the outgoing stuff comes first. And there will be some names that go in the portal, people that you like, people that you had high aspirations for. It's their decision, right? There are going to be some other guys out there. We're going to have some frank discussions with them here between now and the 9th, have our exit interview and say, hey, we'd like you to get bigger and faster and stronger. We'd like for you to change positions. And there are going to be other guys that we say, hey, listen, you're welcome to stay. However, once we go in the portal, you may be running third team next year. So you need to make a decision about your future. If you want to get in the portal, we'll support you with that. There's going to be that aspect of it. But inevitably, there's always these fans that don't follow the game as closely as you and I do. And all of a sudden, and you know what's going to happen. This is where I need your help on social media and on the message boards. When guys go in the portal, there's no point in freaking out because we're going to sign somebody to replace them. And hopefully it's going to be somebody of comparable or better talent. Hopefully better talent. We have to get better on our roster in order to get up the ladder. We can't fill the team with the same level of talent we had last year and expect to win, bowl games. It's not going to happen. So we have to make some room. And we have to have some guys that leave of their own volition for more playing time. That's just the way the process works. So when you see these posts, please, please help me and assist me in saying, hey, we knew this was going to happen. This is the nature of college athletics these days. It is what it is. We'll have more on this on Monday. I'm sure we'll begin to learn more in the next week about who plans to go in the portal. We'll be working those stories very closely. We're just kind of rehabbing, coming back from Oxford, and kind of taking the totality of the whole season in. It didn't go the way we wanted. But we have to take some steps here in these next few weeks to ensure that next year is not a repeat of this year. It's really back to form for Mississippi State. We're competing for bowl games and winning some of these toss-up matchups against our SEC brethren. Until next time, let's all live our lives in a way we make more friends than enemies and people can see a difference in the way we live.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.